Hi, this is Andy Butcher, the editor of Christian Retailing Magazine. I'm hosting today one of our supplier roundtable discussions, and today we're going to be looking at the issue of the category of small group curriculum. And I have with me representatives from three suppliers who are well known in this area through the industry. And I'm welcoming this today with me. We have Larry Carpenter, who is the president of Standard Publishing, John Raymond, a vice president and publisher of Church Engagement for Zondervan, and Amy Rusher, who's the product manager at Group Publishing. So thanks to each of you for joining me and joining in the conversation. Now, as will probably come up as we talk, small group resources and materials in themselves are not new. They have a long and established history, but there does seem to be something of either a renaissance or a renewal or an increase in the range and availability of small group resources, certainly within the last recent memory of the last few years. What does that growth area, what does that say about the church and culture and about people and the way they learn and they're involved in church life? Amy?
Yeah, I think the growth of small groups can be attributed to several factors, and one of them is what you said, Andy, that people learn in such various ways, and small groups provide the flexibility and intimacy that a lot of times people aren't seeing in the dated curriculum. So I think a lot of churches and individual groups are moving away from the dated curriculum and moving towards small groups. I also think it shows a shift in culture with a lot of the non-churched and de-churched people forming their own small groups outside of the traditional church setting.
John, Larry, any further thoughts along those lines?
Yeah, I think that a couple of other things have probably encouraged that. I think, you know, as the megachurch movement has been growing the last couple of decades, they've discovered that at the same time that they're getting bigger, they also need to get smaller. And because they're not small churches anymore, they needed to figure out a way to connect their people. And so I think that dynamic of growing as a church, but yet keeping people connected into smaller communities has also been a catalyst to more people doing small groups. And I think also when the 40 Days of Purpose campaign out of Saddleback came into play with the purpose-driven life, of course, Rick Warren encouraged everybody in their churches to form these small groups for at least 6 weeks. And I think that was another little catalyst, at least in this last decade, that really helped push small groups into the forefront.
Right. Now, Larry, Standard obviously has a history going back, a century or more in terms of curriculum in one form or another. What mm-hmm. have you been noticing about how that's changing, though?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think I agree with John about the mega churches. One of the things about mega churches is because they're so large, obviously then when you start breaking it down into Sunday schools and that sort of thing, you're talking large crowds. My wife and I have one rule as far as where we go to Sunday school. It cannot be a Sunday school class where you have to wear a name tag. And so one of the downsides to the mega churches is you lose the intimacy when you come into a huge Sunday school class. Your singles class can be hundreds of people. And so they then kind of default, and, well, why don't we get together and, you know, for breakfast at McDonald's and do something? And so you need a small group study to lead that. I think a second thing that we've noted is the need for more entertainment value. Today's generation is more raised on video games and instant gratification and that sort of thing. They need more stimulus than just today we're going to talk about the Book of Acts. So, and I'm sure, Andy, when we get to actual products, we'll talk about some of the things that work best. But things that tie in with popular culture and more topical type things seem to work best. And then the third thing I would throw out would be what Barna has noted in his research, that the fastest single growing element of the church are the home churches, up to over 20 million in the last Barna survey that I saw. And so as people are sort of getting away from the four-wall brick-and-mortar church and just worshiping in people's homes, they need some sort of curriculum to use, and the large dated curriculum programs don't work so well in that home church environment.
John, you raised an interesting point, pointing to purpose-driven life, of course, there. I was reflecting on the what we might call the modern or contemporary small group resources, and I was thinking back even to my younger days of like the, in the 70s and 80s of Serendipity, for instance, and
right.
those kind of programs. What is different about the actual content of product and curriculum today from even maybe 10 or 20 years ago?
Well, one of the biggest shifts that we're finding is the change from just the old print Bible study guides that you'd open up and you'd read through the Bible and have some questions and you'd all sit around in a group and answer. We have seen an explosion in this decade of video curriculum, and that can come through many forms, but a lot of it is author-based. And so what we're finding is that a lot of groups, or even Sunday classes, are inviting authors into their group or into their classroom via video. So a person like a John Ortberg or a Bill Hybels or Jim Cimbala, whoever authors you might have as a publisher, now people want to experience it in a new way. And partly that is because we also have a new generation of people who like to watch rather than read. And so that has been probably the most fascinating thing. And now that we're moving into a more digital age where the iPod is everywhere and computers are everywhere, we now may be moving into where that visual connection to content is just going to be the primary way people experience curriculum.
Amy, Group's been known as a leader in innovative forms of small group materials for, what, 25, 30-plus years now. What changes have you been noticing?
Yeah, the video and the author-based definitely are two of them. To kind of go along with that and the entertainment-type value that people want out of something, also connecting a web-based component to the curriculum. And we recently did that last year with a program, and so that people could look at and read material and use it individually and in their small group out of the printed book, but then also go online for a web-based component as well. Mm. Another thing I think people are looking for, too, is shorter studies and studies that have less prep. You know, as people just get busier and busier, it seems, as the years go by, that people aren't wanting to spend a lot of time outside of their small group setting to prepare or follow up on what they've learned. So we've heard a lot of people asking for low prep or no prep studies, more than I know group had heard in the past.
Right, so they don't have to fake it that they've done their homework when they arrive, right?
Right?
Now, a couple of you have mentioned the word entertainment, and obviously particularly with digital formats and video and music and audio and the web as well, provides far greater opportunities. And obviously we want to connect with contemporary people where they are, but is there a danger or an element that we're kind of going to dumb things down basically so that we are just entertaining people at the end of the day rather than educating or feeding them or seeing them grow? How do you keep that balance?
I think there's a chance of that happening, Andy. But I think that if a company is careful, they can introduce something that has entertainment value that still has a strong biblical message linked to it. I think one of the products over the last 20 years that was really a breakthrough product was the Andy Griffith television show Bible Study. Author named Steve Skelton did that. And I remember I read about it in the USA Today. And I can honestly say it's the first time I've ever read about church curriculum in USA Today. But what Steve did was he would take and pull out clips, and of course that was not a Christian program, but had strong moral stories in each one of the episodes. And coincidentally, after you take the commercials out, it's about 26 minutes long. So what Steve did was, somebody else spoke about the use of videos. Basically, what he would do was the package would come with a video that you'd plug in, and you'd actually watch an episode of the Andy Griffith Show. And then he had it for a half an hour, and then he had a discussion guide for the next half hour. So the thing was, and what USA Today picked up on was that Sunday school no longer has to be dull and boring. Now it can be exciting. And what more for aging baby boomers than to be able to go back and have fun watching in an episode of a program that they grew up on? So I think that's an example of something where you take and make something fun, but that particular small group study didn't dumb it down. Still had solid content for a half an hour.
John, this question of balancing entertainment and the mission of what we're really trying to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think using television shows and or movies is a bit tricky. Because, A, you know, what was kind of the primary use for that in the first place? And whether you can always extract Christian content well from that, I think it's kind of a tricky thing. So when I think of entertainment, I look at it from a little different perspective. And what I would say is maybe with video, what we want is tremendous content, but we do it in a little different way, like on location. In other words, if an author or a speaker is going to tell a story connected to the content that they're delivering, could we put them in the environment where that story actually happened and let that maybe provide a little bit of visual interest and intrigue rather than tapping into other mediums that were designed for other purposes. The other thing that we've found on the entertainment side is maybe it's actually letting people tell their real stories. And so we've incorporated testimonies or faith stories from people that kind of coincide with what the speaker's theme or what they were communicating, but then we do a real-life story, much like something that would appear on 2020 or Nightline or something like that.
Amy, you know, much of group materials is aimed at maybe younger people and from kids and young adults and so on, where you're obviously trying to engage them and you're competing with a high level of entertainment culture they're involved in. What about this balancing of entertainment and substance?
Yeah, the component that I had mentioned earlier that we did that was web-based was actually, you know, a Bible reading experience. But instead of making it just another, oh, read through the Bible again, you know, it's how can we look at it in a different light and try to add some social media to it, some video, some things people are have come to expect to have, but yet not, you know, not take away the integrity and the value of reading the Bible, but try to get other people interested in that that haven't done that before. So that was an aspect that we looked at it. But, yeah, like you said, we also do a lot of stuff for kids and youth, so that's always something at the forefront of groups' mind is how to keep the younger people's attention when that's something that they've grown up in even more than people who are now doing small groups.
Right. That small group application obviously is much more than just sticking a few questions at the end of a chapter, right, which, you know, might have been, you know, an approach at one time. Let's talk a little bit about product development, because some of what you said, John, strikes me that it actually can go back and has implications for the original content even itself. I mean, first question, how do you decide what is appropriate for small group application or study? I mean, you produce particularly Standard and Zondervan, you publish a lot of books, and they don't all make what. How do you know what works for a small group?
That's a good question. Well, I kind of want to just step off a comment Amy made where they're finding that things need to be shorter in length and in experience. We're finding that for small groups, we need to keep our curriculum somewhere between 4 and 6 weeks. Most of it's six. And we're finding that the length of time that people want to watch video can kind of vary from about, you know, 12 minutes to up to 25 minutes. You start getting close to that half an hour and beyond, and it's very difficult for people to want to stay focused and want to stay with it. And if you look at how even most people who are visual today because of sitcoms and television and even YouTube clips, which are actually 5 minutes or less, most of them.
Right.
We're living in a world where you got to be careful how long you actually keep your people focused on the video. So those are factors that go in how we create it. The bigger thing that we look at is where are we pulling our curriculum from? If it's a best-selling book, we know that curriculum most likely is going to work because the buzz is out about the content of that book. And so whenever we have a best-selling book of any sort, we can almost count on the curriculum being successful because there are people who will automatically encourage people to be part of it because they've read the book, or people want to go, I always wanted to read that book, but since I don't like to read, now I can go to a video experience. So that is one factor, but there's other factors as well related to churches or organizations that are larger and have developed their own curriculum. They've field tested it in their environments, and now they want to take it to the mass populace. And we found good success in working with some of our partners in developing curriculum that way too.
Mm. Larry, what guides standard in terms of you deciding what's going to make small group?
Yeah, it's a tricky decision, especially when you do dated curriculum as well as small group. You come to a decision point where you say, is this better suited for dated or for small group? I think when you're looking at small group, one of the main guiding principles is what I'll call universality, where you could come up with a subject like, I don't know, the role of the Roman centurion in ancient Rome, that one or two people would say, wow, that's really fascinating, I'd like to do that. But the job of a small group leader is he or she has got to come up with a topic that everybody in that group is going to want to talk about for the next 4 to 6 weeks. So again, some of that entertainment value creeps in, but again, it has to be something that everybody's interested in. So some of the topics that are important to Christians that are may not necessarily be considered just hit you over the head biblical that have been popular with us are things like finance, how to come together in a small group and talk about how do you do your financial matters in a God-honoring way. So, and almost everybody is interested in that. Another study that we did was on creation versus evolution. And again, the feedback we got was there are a few people that think, oh, science, that's kind of dull. But by and large, the majority of the people in that class, if the leader says, you know, is this something you guys want to talk about for the next 6 weeks, would say, yeah, that sounds pretty interesting. So you got to have something that's got universal appeal. Thematic is also very important. If you can tie it in with a major theme of either something that's happening in pop culture at that point in time, or tie it in with some other element of the church. For example, one of our best-selling small group study guides each year is one that ties in with our Vacation Bible School. So for example, if our theme and our theme this year has to do with unnamed heroes of the Bible, so we came out with a separate book called Unnamed. Last year was Studio Go, it was called Go. And what it is an adult small group study that all of the volunteers who are getting together to administer the Vacation Bible School program can go off and have their own adult-oriented small group discussion. So I'd say it has to be universal, it has to be thematic, and it has to be perceived as being different from what they're doing in their dated curriculum program.
Right. There's when you're tying into titles as well, coming back to something John, you were saying, the timing's fairly critical because you see, there's got to be enough interest in the title, but not you don't want it to be by its kind of sell-by date, do you? So the production timing must be fairly a bit of a balancing act as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be. I mean, there's a couple of different ways that curriculum, when you're basing it on a book product, is you have to figure out the timing. One way is this going to be used as a church-wide campaign? In other words, when the book launches, are you going to provide sermons to a pastor, the book for everybody to read, and then a curriculum for every group to use? If you do something simultaneous like that, you have to plan ahead and figure it out, and you're basing all of your video content off of the manuscript from a book, and yet hoping that they're going to add some new things into it as well so that people don't see too much repetition. On the other hand, when a book does well, it can live a life of its own for a year or 2 years or even beyond that, and then a curriculum can be created after that and still be successful. Amazingly, when we put a book out like Jim Cimbala's book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, and then followed with several other books on prayer, we discovered that we didn't do a curriculum right away until about 7 years down the road from when Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire was published, but we made it on the theme of prayer. And because that's a passion for Jim Cimbala, there was actually a pent-up audience for wanting a video experience on prayer. And we didn't even title it after any best-selling book. We just called it When God's People Pray. And that has been one of our best-selling curriculums for the last 3 or 4 years, and it was really built around that theme, as Larry mentioned, thematic, but yet from somebody they knew was very passionate about that.
Right, right. Let's shift focus for the last part of our conversation to retailers and to stores. Much of this material is obviously ultimately church-focused, and suppliers do have, you know, direct-to-church services and so on. What are the opportunities? What is the potential for retail stores to be involved in this this area? I mean, for instance, I'm hearing you say new curriculum every 4 to 6 weeks. That sounds to me like a lot of repeat business. So perhaps, Amy, you could speak first. What are the opportunities? Do Christian retailers, is this a category they should be looking to?
Yeah, definitely, Andy. And you hit the nail on the head when you said a lot of repeat business, because when they're doing, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 different small group studies a year, depending on how many breaks their small groups take, they are definitely coming back into the store as consumers a lot, and that gives the retailers a lot of other opportunity to sell other products to them as well as their small group products. Another opportunity they have is to try to connect, you know, to the church in a larger way, build the relationship not only with the small group pastors and the small group leaders and members who are coming in, but then try to build that stronger relationship overall with other areas of the church that those people are involved in. And one thing I know that here at Group we've been talking to some of our trade accounts about is trying to collect more contact information so we can use that for different promotional opportunities. And as they collect that contact information, then they can build stronger relationships with those individual people and the churches as church accounts, and then continue marketing to them to let them know about promotions that are upcoming.
Right. Larry and John, the stores, opportunities, are retailers, are they making the most of the opportunities?
I don't think they are, but that's not too unusual. All of the stores need a little help in figuring out how to sell these. One of the things that we've noted that speaks to the store opportunity in small group is we've noticed that there's a very fundamental difference in the way that dated curriculum is bought and what we refer to as unstructured curriculum. That's kind of our buzzword for small groups. And we like I know Group and Zondervan may also sell, quite a bit of product directly into the churches. And when you're doing dated curriculum, that's pretty easy to do. Every church has a Sunday school director or a pastor in charge of education or whatever, whose job it is to figure out what the Sunday school classes, the more structured classes, are going to be for the next quarter or semester. And so those purchases tend to be done directly by the churches. Many churches have to go through denominational. The Baptist churches are supposed to buy through Lifeway and Cokesbury for the Methodists, etc. So there's much more of a structured and much more of a demand direct to the churches for the dated curriculum. The undated, unstructured, small group type things are much more free-flowing. And in fact, often it's frustrating for the educational director because they've got all these diverse different small groups that all want something that's more entertaining, more topical, more thematic, more cutting edge, whatever. And so what they tend to do is just to turn to that small group leader and say, okay, you guys just pick out what you want to study for the next 6 weeks. So what does that small group person do? They don't want to go into some publisher's catalog and look at all this stuff. They want to go out to the Christian retail store or even Barnes & Noble and browse through that section. So Frankly, in the design of the product, the cover images become more important because it's more than likely more of an impulse purchase than a Sunday school director picking something out of a catalog. So there's some other factors in terms of how you market it, but basically that's an opportunity for the store to have a well-marked, well-organized section where those small group leaders can browse through and immediately find, say, hey, that, you know, hey, Andy Griffith TV show, boy, I think that would work. That looks interesting. Or here's a great book on finances or something to Larry Burkett, whatever. And so it makes it easier. So I think the stores in general just need to do a better job of positioning this so that the folks that are coming out and looking for it and want to browse will be able to find what they're looking for.
John, your thoughts on stores and the opportunities they may be missing or overlooking?
Yeah, well, having cut my teeth on my very first vocational experience working in the retail, Christian retail market, I realized how important it was to build relationships. So no matter what area of the bookstore I was involved in, if I could build a relationship with a clientele, they trusted that I would know what's best. And I think the church is the secret, perhaps, to retailers' success if they would build the relationships, much like Amy and Larry both have suggested, that they have to get to know who are these key people. And not only that, but in the area of small group curriculum, is having somebody in the store who could really help small group leaders when they walk in look at the options. And so that is going to require that a store have good samples of what's available. They need to have, if it's a Bible study curriculum that stands on its own, you got to have copies of that. If it's a video curriculum that also has an accompanying participants guide, you're going to have that. If you don't have those things in the store that people can look at, then they're going to look other places. And so that's key. And one of the ways that they could do that is if they have to keep a limited supply of product is to utilize a video player or a computer or whatever you might have to actually let people experience some of these curriculums. Like, for example, at Zondervan, we provide DVD samplers to bookstores so that they can actually see what it would be like to actually go through a session or a kind of a promotion of what our latest curriculums are. So, you know, building relationships, having the product, and then visually representing the product by letting people experience it. Those three things, to me, will be help a store really make a difference in getting small group resources into the hands of the right people.
Great. Let's stay in store for a moment, the last couple of minutes we have, and just see any more real specific ideas, maybe in terms of merchandising or display. Where should it be in store? What about cross-merchandising? What about how can stores promote or connect with small group leaders? Any of the three of you got any, you know, more? Just a few takeaway tidbits for retailers who may be listening.
Well, one of the things
ahead,
I was going to say, one of the things that I think is important that John alluded to was knowing who your customer is. And the small group leader is tougher to market to than a dated curriculum person. And the reason for that is one can make some elemental assumptions about who's going to be buying curriculum. You can go to a church's, if you're a retailer, you can go to a church's website and generally definitely the senior pastor, the pastor is going to be identified, but usually Sunday school director, because those people tend to be paid staff, especially for the larger mega churches. So you know who they are, you know how to find them, you can get an email address, you know how to reach them. Small group studies are, in my experience, more than often not purchased by the paid staff member. So the person who's leading a Tuesday morning Bible study at Starbucks is not listed on the church's website. So for a retailer to know who that is and to be able to get them onto an email roster or something like that, you have to be a little bit more creative in terms of building up that database so that and keeping facts like last time Charlie was in buying something for his Starbucks group, they bought a Bible study that tied in with a major motion pictures. Okay, well, I've just got a new one in from group that focuses on, you know, whatever, TV shows or something. So let me give Charlie a call and see if he'd be interested in that. So you've got to not only be able to track all those names that aren't as readily available as they are for dated curriculum sales, but you also need to know a little bit about them so you can do targeted marketing.
John?
A couple things. One would be we've gotten feedback from our sales reps that over the years, a lot of people have had these Lucite displays that they've used on their shelves where they can actually slot in Bible study guides or any kind of curriculum. We've found that those can work just as well for a video and a participant's guide as they can for a Bible study thing. And so instead of stacking everything on a shelf spine out, why don't you find strategically things within your store that you could put on the shelves that will allow you to do things face out, grab people's attention, and just present a cohesive group of resources for people. A second possible way to highlight some of the small group curriculum, particularly those that are related to books, would be create author end caps or resource end caps where you can highlight an author or a theme or something like that that allows small groups to realize, wow, there's more curriculum out there than we even knew existed. And partly it was because they never saw the cover before, or they never knew that a certain author talked on that or whatever. So I think that figuring out the space you have, the actual displays that you already have in your store, how can you reuse them in a way that will highlight that section of the store so that small group leaders or small group pastors or Bible study leaders can see something in a new and fresh way?
Thank you.
Yeah, and that was a key point. Yeah, that I wanted to make also, because, and we've experienced that before, you know, we're not a big book publisher, but we've partnered with some other companies. And so, for example, like we, you know, have done two Tony Dungy Bible studies. And so, great, everybody's buying the book, which is in a different section of the store, but then you have the study guide, which is spine out only in the Bible study guide section. And so it's very difficult for customers to even know there is a related product, let alone find it, since it's in a different section of the store and it is only spine out. So to create that type of an end cap, and I know that we've gone back and forth about this before too with stores, that, you know, something has to be merchandise in one place or another, and so it's difficult. Do you take it out of the Bible study section and put it, you know, somewhere else where it can be displayed maybe with another product that it's relevant to, or just put it in the Bible study section? So, yeah, trying to find a win-win solution for that. And then also back to the relationship building, I know one idea of an account that we have that they shared with us was, instead of, say, giving a bulk discount to a small group leader who came in when they came to buy, you know, the books for the entire group, was to do something like give, just sell those products at regular price, but then give them coupons to pass out to their group members to get them back into the store for the next go-round, to get them to come in and purchase at a discount. So try to get more people in the group to come into the store instead of just the one person who always comes in to buy for the group. So just thinking of innovative ways to try to increase the traffic for them, which will hopefully then increase the sales for us as publishers.
Yeah,
that's a great
point. Continue building the relationship.
Can I add one more thing to what Amy said? I think one of the things that stores are going to have to wrestle with, and I know this is a hard one because I've been involved in the business enough, is that they are going to possibly have to think about what would it be like to offer discounts more aggressively or more often to our small group customers. Because I think if they're more open to doing that, or, you know, and they can do it like once a month specials, or they could do it in a variety of ways, they are competing in a world now where people can look around and look at the best price and all that. And so I just think that the retail brick-and-mortar store has to think strategically. How can we, in the midst of this world where people can buy anything, anywhere, anytime, how can we offer something that will be encourage them to come to our store and to encourage them to look at what we have to offer?
Right, and I think the training of the associates that was mentioned earlier goes along with that too, because I've been at conferences where people have, you know, been so excited just to come to the conference to look at the resources because they said they live so far away from any type of a brick and mortar Christian retail store that they and they're scared to buy anything online because they're the type of people that like to stand there and look through all the resources, get a feel for what the study is going to be like. And they can't do that without driving, you know, several hours from where they live. And so once they do make that investment to get to a store, they want to be able to not only interact with the products, but ask questions of the people that are working to try to get some guidance, too.
Thank you.
Let me,
Andy,
can I just real quickly reinforce point on that? And that is hand selling at the retail level, I think, is probably more important in the small group curriculum section than any other section. Why? People, when they're buying for themselves, the only person they have to please is themselves. So I can go into a Christian bookstore and say, hey, where's your Bible section or where's your devotional section? And if they can point that out to me, I can go over there and amuse myself for the next 10 minutes and find something that I want to read. But the difference is with a small group, you're not only buying for yourself, but you're buying for 5, 10, 15, 20 other people. And so making sure that you get it right is more important. If I, as a small group discussion leader, choose something for my group that's meeting at Starbucks and it's a dud, it's just really bad, that's a reflection on me. So I'm looking for some other opinions. So what I'll do is I'll go in, find somebody working there and say, where's your small group discussion area? So it's important to have, as both Amy and John said, this all collected in one easy to find, easy to browse section. But then I'll drag that person on over and I say, okay, you talked to a lot of other people coming here. What are the other people buying? What's good? What have you read? What do you think is good? Because I'm looking for that credibility, that endorsement from that store personnel, because that decision, there's a lot more pressure on me making that buying decision than there is on just buying a book for myself. So having a well-trained staff that that knows what's in each of these, hey, here's this nice new book from Zondervan that's got so-and-so, it's more important for them to be knowledgeable on that area than perhaps any other section in the store with the possible exception of Bibles.
Excellent point there. Thank you. Let me close with this one last question to each of you. As we've mentioned, there's more and more material and products out there. So here's an opportunity just to mention each of you, maybe just a couple of your new or forthcoming small group curriculum that may be of particular interest. Larry, let's start with you because I know you may have to run.
How many commercials am I allowed?
You're allowed to.
All right. We've got one that is just shipping this month that kind of fits all the stuff I talked about sort of pop culture and entertainment, called It's Your Move. And what it is it's based on board games. So what we've done is we've gone back and picked out all the great board games from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. One of them is oriented more towards those actual board games called On Board. So there you'd get your Monopoly and your Scrabble and your Clue and other game of life and whatnot. And so the neat thing is the group comes in, and again, it's an adult study. So you come in and you actually get a copy of the game, and you can actually play the game during the thing and learn things like, you know, going to jail, and then how do you tie that in with Paul's exploits there in the jails and that sort of thing. So it's a lot of fun, it's entertaining, but has solid biblical content. Then the second one that's oriented more towards a younger crowd gets into what they call the outburst games, and those would be things like Pictionary and more group participation type things, but it's the same thing, and that book is called Out Loud, and that's where you get into those type of games. So it's fun, it's ties in with warm fuzzies that people bring back from their childhood and that sort of thing, so that's just shipping actually in April. Then we got a second series that's also thematic, and it's called Through Artist's Eyes, and it's three books, God's Word on Canvas, God's Word on Glass, and God's Word in Stone. And this is for people who are perhaps a little bit more intellectually oriented than the ones who play Monopoly. But what it does is it goes back and it picks up on canvas, obviously picks up beautiful works of art by the historical, classical, biblical artist. And so people can come in and talk about it and what they like and Titian's use of color and, you know, whatever else people who love fine art can talk about. But they do that, and then, again, they tie it in. What was Michelangelo trying to say in this painting that relates to John 13 or whatever? So those are just two examples of ones that we're rolling out, one that deals with or oriented towards board games and another one that's oriented towards classical Christian art.
Thanks, Larry. Amy, how about group?
Yeah, we have a new series called Growing Out, From Disciples to Disciplers. That's releasing in June, and this is a six-book series that is a guided path to spiritual maturity. And so it takes people through growing in Jesus, growing in character, growing in their gifts, and then up into growing in leadership. So as they move throughout this path of spiritual maturity, they start by examining their own relationship with Jesus, and then they move forward so that eventually they're ending after the sixth book or season, as we're calling it, in a position of leadership once they've matured through all six seasons. And so that's, like I said, releasing in June, Growing Out. And then we have a book that's coming out called Make Your Group Grow, another title with the word grow in it. And this is to get groups growing both numerically and spiritually. And so we did surveys of, or the author, Josh Hunt, did surveys of several small group leaders and pastors that he's been talking to over the past 12 years as he's been working with churches across the country to see if what he's been talking about and how to get your group growing really works. And so we share the findings of that, of those studies in that book, Make Your Group Grow. And that releases in June also.
Thank you. Thank
you.
And, you're right. John, how about Zondervan?
Wow, what a challenging question. We got so many here, it's hard to just select a few.
Two, that was.
I think one of the things that we're finding great success with at Zondervan is the whole church-wide campaign experience, whereby we provide the resources for groups to do a video curriculum, individuals to read the book, and then pastors to actually preach a whole series. And the big ones that came out this year are The Prodigal God by Tim Keller, which has done extremely well, and also The Me I Want to Be, which is a brand new book, video curriculum from John Ortberg. And then this summer we'll be launching the similar kind of thing with the brand new book and video curriculum from Bill Hybels called The Power of a Whisper. Some other interesting things that we're doing is trying to figure out areas that we can actually target a kind of experience, much like a seasonal experience where we've done the Advent conspiracy. Can Christmas still change the world, which would be a very seasonal thing, but what we're really trying to help people do is how do I spend less, give more, and love the people that I see day in, day out in our lives.
Great. Well, look, my thanks to all three of you. Some great content and some food for thought and a practical application, I hope, for retailers who are listening there. So my appreciation to Standard Publishing and Zondervan and Group Publishing. Thanks again to each of you.
Thank you. Okay.